Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station for the Inner Life at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Knapp. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction. And today, discipleship and our ongoing call to be disciples right where we are, doing exactly what we're doing. And let's be honest, being a disciple, answering that call to disciple our own little worlds can be challenging. Overcoming maybe some fear, bearing with some humiliation, standing up for what's right. Not easy at times to be a disciple, but if we're going to follow Jesus wherever he might be leading us, being a disciple is what I like to call part of the deal. We're going to talk about all of that today. Here to help us on the journey, back with us once again, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters. Father Burke is a priest in the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, Secretary for Christian Formation, and Director of the Office of Adult Formation. And Father Burke is also the temporary administrator of Notre Dame Catholic Church, that in Clarendon Hills, Illinois. And I always like to mention that you can hear his vocation story on his CD from Lighthouse Media called The Baseball Priest. Father Burke Masters, welcome back. A pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks, Chuck. Good morning. Always good to be with you.
And looking forward to our conversation about discipleship, as we do every day. We'll open up our phone lines, inviting you in our listening audience to join us. And being a disciple, what's your experience of that? We'd love to hear your story, and we'll get those phone lines open here in just a moment. But Father Burke, get us started. And I guess maybe the first question, what does it mean to be a disciple?
Yeah, so the word literally means like a student or a follower. And, of course, in the sense of being a disciple of Jesus, it's to be a follower of his. If you go back to the time of Jesus, you know, the rabbis would call these young men, usually about age 13, 14, to follow them and literally like to walk in their shadows, to be some say covered in the dust of the rabbi, to follow him so closely to become like them. And, you know, now we live in a different era, a different culture in the year 2021. So how do we become followers of Jesus today? You know, it's investing time in that relationship with him. And I believe three of the fundamental ways we do that is investing time in the sacraments, you know, especially the Eucharist and reconciliation, the praying with Scripture, and then just quiet prayer with the Lord. We can't physically walk with him, other than obviously we have the Eucharist, but we can invest time and energy into that relationship. Mm-hmm. And so, and we're all called to be disciples. One of the things that we have a group of men in our diocese that's going through what we call Be Formed, and we're walking with Jeff Cavins, who I love the way he describes discipleship. You know, he said the rabbis of Jesus' time would call these young men who were 13 or 14 years old, who had a lot of potential to become like them. And then when Jesus, who, you know, they called him rabbi, he's a teacher, when he called his disciples, they weren't 13 or 14, you know, they were men who were fishermen. And what I find interesting there is that Jesus called the unchosen, you know, so Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were passed over by previous rabbis, but Jesus said, come follow me. You know, I'm going to be your teacher, your rabbi, and I want you to become like me. And so I think it gives us all great hope that through the unchosen, Jesus changed the world. And he calls each one of us. You know, we may say, well, who am I? I don't have any great gifts, you know, to offer to the Lord. But he still chooses us. He calls us by name. And he's going to say to us, if he hasn't already, you know, come follow me. And what's our response to that beautiful invitation? Yeah.
Father Burke Masters is our spiritual director, talking today about being a disciple. Let's open up our phone lines if you'd like to join us on the program today. Toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But as we talk about discipleship, what is your experience of being a disciple? And when did you hear the call to be a disciple, to come follow the Lord? And what did you have to do to say yes to the Lord Jesus? Again, toll-free if you'd like to join us and share the story, toll-free 888-914-9149. So, Father Burke, as you're talking, I'm reminded of Jonah. I've been meditating on that a lot. It happened to be today's, this morning's first reading. But can you talk about that? This isn't, by the way, on the list of questions I have in front of me. But it's so interesting because we talk about Jonah. He heard the call, but he didn't want to do it. He ran. And I think there's such a great lesson for us in the prophet Jonah that, yeah, we don't think we can do what the Lord is calling us to do, but he is calling us to do it, and he's with us in it.
Yeah, it is a great lesson. I wish I could say that I dropped my nets. You know, and the nets represent, you know, anything that we're doing in this life that we might be afraid to let go of in order to follow Jesus. So I wish I could say I said yes to Jesus immediately, but I was like Jonah. You know, God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh. You know, imagine what that call was like. You know, it would be like today going into Chicago or L.A. or New York and walk through the streets of the city and ask people to repent. and Jonah went the other way. He's like, I'm out of here. And, of course, we know he's swallowed by the whale and brought right back to where he started. And then he probably thought, oh, my, I think I better follow this call. And he did, and in his own simple way, the first day the people repented, and the whole city, from the king on down, they all repented and followed God's ways. And I know, you know, looking back on my life, I probably had many different invitations from the Lord, and I was so busy doing my will, and I would, frankly, just ignore his call, you know, because I thought I knew better from what I needed than God did. I didn't trust God enough. And finally, so many things came my way, so many invitations, so many things became more obvious that I said, okay, I'll let go. I'll let go of my plans and follow yours. And now I say I wish I would have followed earlier, but, you know, we can't live in the past. We have to look forward. And, you know, I've been a priest now going on 19 years and wouldn't trade it for anything. It's been the most amazing journey. Hasn't been easy, you know, and no vocation. It wasn't easy for Jonah, I'm sure, but it wasn't easy for any of the prophets or the apostles, most of whom died as martyrs. But there's nothing worth more than following Jesus as his disciple and as his apostle.
Father Burke Masters, our spiritual director, talking about discipleship today. And so we talk, Father Burke, about saying yes, and do we need to remind ourselves that it's not easy and that if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, there just might be a cross in our life.
He told us, right? He said, to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. So we should not expect an easy life. Another place where Peter asked Jesus, he says, you know, we've given up everything to follow you. What's in it for me? And it was almost verbatim what I was praying the night before I got ordained. And what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, anyone who gives up home, you know, country, language for my sake will receive 100 times more in this life. And then he said, with persecutions and in the next. So there's going to be so many blessings in this life, incredible, beyond what we can comprehend in heaven. But it's not going to be easy. There's going to be persecutions. And So that's been my experience. Like my first year of seminary, at the end, my mother died at the age of 57 from cancer. My dad died a few years ago, and there's been some heavy crosses along the way. But at the same time, the blessings and the growth and trust that even with my mom's death, later on, God showed me that, you know, death is part of life. And, you know, again, there's nothing more important than our relationship with the Lord, because eternity is forever. This life is short. I remember watching a YouTube video of Francis Chan, who's a Protestant minister out in California, who now he's talking a lot about the Eucharist. That's why I was watching it, because many are saying that he might be coming around to the Catholic Church soon. He has a huge following. And but he had this long white rope on the stage, and just about an inch of the rope was painted red, and the rest of the rope just went on for, as far as you can see, was white. And he said, this white represents eternity. This red represents our life here on earth. And he says, why do we focus all of our attention just on the red when this white goes on forever? It was a great visual for us to recognize, you know, life is short, and especially as it compares to eternity. And what are we doing to prepare for eternity? Not only for ourselves, but for the people that God places in our paths, you know, the next generations.
Yeah, great question for all of us, really. Father Burkmaster is our spiritual director. If you're just joining us on the program, talking about discipleship on The Inner Life today. I'm so taken with what you said earlier when we look at the first disciples. He called the unchosen, and that reminded me then of one of my favorite scripture verses. It's the Last Supper Discourse, the Gospel of John, John 15, the vine and the branches, and John 15:16 says, it was not you who chose me, it was I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And I think that's such an insight to recognize that we think maybe we have not been chosen, but I mean, to me, that verse was written for me. It was not you who chose me. That's mine, everybody. You can't have that one. But it's such a lesson for all of us, because we go around thinking maybe we are unchosen, but in our effort to follow Jesus, in our effort to be a disciple, he has chosen us to do that.
Yeah. As I've heard this saying, you know, God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called, and we're all called. You know, I think we can all relate to that, Chuck, that, you know, I was a Protestant baseball player, and I was a perfectionist. I knew nothing about Scripture. I thought, what can God do with me, you know? And as I've tried to surrender each part of my life to him, little by little, I realize that he gives me all the gifts that I need, and I'm just learning to trust him more and more with everything, that the smaller I become, the greater the fruit, because then more and more I'm able to shine forth the love of Christ and not Burkmaster's, you know. And so it's good to recognize that we're small, you know, that maybe if I feel unchosen, to say that now God can use you, you know. Once you recognize that, you know, in humility, gosh, you know, who am I? And God's like, okay, now it's through my weakness that I'm made strong. It's giving God everything, even my nothingness, and watching him do amazing things with it. So I, too, was really struck by that teaching that Jesus chose the unchosen. And I was like, ah, that's it. You know, everybody out there that feels like, who am I? And the Lord is saying, okay, now I can use you. I remember working with a young lady one time in spiritual direction. I thought she had a call to religious life, and she really felt strongly she had a call to marriage, and you know, she was really struggling with it. And then one day she walked in and she's like, you know, if God wants me to be a nun, fine. You know, she kind of surrendered. And 3 days later, she met her future husband. And now they have 4 kids, and they're really happily married. But I realized in her journey, like, she had to come to that point of surrender and say, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want, even though this is what I want. I'll do whatever you want, and then God could use her. And now she's this amazing disciple of Christ, beautiful Catholic marriage, and, you know, raising the children in the faith. Yeah. So have we come to that point of trusting God and surrendering to him?
Father Burkmaster is our spiritual director, talking about discipleship today. Let's take a phone call. Anne, listening in Sacramento, you're up first, and thanks for the call. Welcome to the program today.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. I've got a little bit different situation. I'm in my upper years, we'll put quite upper, and I can't get out, and I'm homebound. I can't do things. But for some reason, the good Lord has blessed me financially through my husband's retirement after he passed away. Anyway, I've been able to help missions. I make sure where I'm helping, and I'm just wondering, I'm not really doing anything to actually, I'm helping people in a way, and I make sure that these needs, there's Africa, I've got Sudan Relief Fund, I've got different places that I do support, and I don't even take care of my own house the way I should. And the only disadvantage is the mail that I get from all over the world in thank yous and also requests. So anyway, I wonder, is this something that I'm doing it because I can't really do much else. Is it something worthwhile that to keep on doing, even though I can't seem to get out to really, you know, help other people as far as giving a good example to other people? Is this something worthwhile? Because I'm supposed to depend on money.
Yeah. A beautiful question, and I think you're speaking for a lot of people who may be homebound or feel like, yeah, what can I do? Or you know, I was thinking of the Acts of the Apostles, where, you know, the apostles would have a group of people around them, and some of them were people who were supporting them financially. They weren't the ones maybe literally out there, you know, doing the preaching and the teaching, but they were supporting this community of believers with their finances. You know, they shared everything in common. And so I think that's what I thought of when you were talking, like, this is a big part of the mission. Like, there are certain things that require money, you know, in order to do God's work, and you're supporting that. So that's definitely a part of this mission. And there might be people listening, too, who maybe are homebound and maybe they don't have the finances, but prayer, you know, we can all pray wherever we're at and support the people who are out there doing the work in the mission. So I thank you for the question, because I think it's something on a lot of people's minds. So yeah. I'd say, yes, you're definitely part of the mission.
Yeah, and a good question. Thanks for joining us on the program today. We are talking about discipleship, and what is your experience of being a disciple, and when did the Lord call you to be that disciple, and you said yes to that? We'd love to hear your story. Father Burkmasters is our spiritual director. If you'd like to join us, toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We'll get to some more phone calls for Father Burkmasters. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 32. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here."
can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life spiritual directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life today. I'm Chuck Neff, along with our producer, Nick Schmitz. Jim Shaper answering your phone calls. Father Burke Masters, our spiritual director. Father Burke is one of our regular contributors, a priest in the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, Secretary for Christian Formation, Director of the Office of Adult Formation, also Temporary Administrator of Notre Dame Catholic Church, that in Clarendon Hills. And you can hear his vocation story. I love this story, by the way. CD from Lighthouse Media called The Baseball Priest. Talking today about discipleship. Phone lines are open if you'd like to join us. 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But discipleship, what is your experience of being a disciple? And when did you hear the call to be a disciple and come follow the Lord Jesus? Toll-free number if you'd like to share the story, 888-914-9149. So, Father Burke, let's head back to the phones. And Susan, listening in San Diego, thank you for the call. Good to have you on the program today.
Hi, Father. Hi, Chuck. It's Susan. This is such a great show. I have so many things that flooded my mind with how God can take us from, you know, our sinfulness into being, you know, one of his disciples, because, like, he's used me from having abortions and all of a sudden going to the pro-life movement. And then I've never shared this, Chuck. One of the reasons that I'm separated from my husband is because he had the midlife crisis. Well, that, in praying for him, it made me become more of a disciple for the family and marriage. And so in explaining to him that I can't, like, undo what I know and I can't unsee what I've seen as far as how God, doing the will of God, it gives you a confidence that you know you're a disciple now. You know, I mean, I never put the name disciple on it, but I know that he's using me more and more through this kind of like a cross that, but once you, like, you know, Father DeLindo, once you surrender to Jesus, you know, you take care of it, and divine mercy, it's like, what can you? You can't do anything except what he wants you to do, and that confidence keeps you going. That you know you're praying for the will of God. I have a spiritual director. I'm fortunate to have him, and that's it. You know, here I go, because I can't, like, not be a disciple. Like Our Lady Fatima, the final battle between the devil is attacking the family and life. And so what else is there to do? I mean, once you know, you can't, like, unknow it. So I guess that's what I wanted to say. And Chuck, I'm going to miss you. But I'll find you on Facebook or something. I just found out, like, wah. Okay. But that's, I guess, it brings you, like, a joy. You're joyful to have that confidence. And it's in the Gospels, you know, like, once – it doesn't matter what we have to go through in this life, that I'll get that crown. I know I'm going to get that crown. Is that okay to be that confident? But that's where I'm at. And it's just, you know, I wish everyone could find that when you just surrender and do the will of God, that it everything kind of becomes clear and it's all in order, you know? So I guess that's my comment.
Beautifully said. I was going to ask you, Susan, what that confidence felt like, but it sounded like you said joy, like you just know, right?
Yeah, and you go through the suffering of how you get there, And that's what makes it even stronger, like a muscle. Oh, my muscle's so tired. Oh, yeah. If you work out or something, you know. Oh, my legs. I've been walking. You know. But then you get, you know, strength out of it. And I don't know where that came from, but it just makes you joyful to know confidently that God wants you to do something, and it's not hard, you know, to do what, once you know that's the will of God for your life, to pray or whatever it is, you know, like that lady that is sending off the, you know, helping the missions, you know, like that's what she can do at, in her state of life and where she's at, you know, but doing that, you know, I just, can you tell I'm happy? So
it's clear through your voice that you found joy in the Lord. A couple of things you said. One is forgiveness. You said you went from, you know, having an abortion to now being God's disciple. I think of like Mary Magdalene, you know, who was kind of a notorious sinner in town, and yet because she was forgiven much, you know, she loved much, and, you know, she became one of the Lord's most faithful disciples. And the series The Chosen, I don't know if you've seen that, but I just think they do a great job of depicting Jesus and the disciples and Mary Magdalene, you know, their humanity, but also the divinity of Jesus as well. And one other thing you said that struck me, I cannot not do it, you know. St. Paul said, you know, I just feel impelled to do the will of God. Because he had experienced the Lord, he knew there was no other way to live than to follow him. So I think when we've had that experience, we just know, like you're saying, and I can't imagine, I can't not do what I'm doing either, because I know the truth, and I can't, you know, as St. Peter said, where should we go, Lord? You alone have the words of everlasting life.
Yeah. Susan, thank you for joining us. A pleasure to have you on the program. I must confess, I love when you call in, by the way. I can hear the joy. It's the same voice, everyone. When Susan calls in, you can hear the joy. You can hear the confidence. But thanks for joining us on the program today. And, you know, Father Burke, that is such a good word, confidence, that when we're following the Lord, yeah, the cross might get heavy. The mountains might get steep. We can't see the top of the hill. And when we do, there's another one in front of us. But to know that we're on the journey, and the confidence to be able to walk with the Lord no matter what is going on. It's what we do. And again, we just can't undo what we know. That's such a great insight for us.
It is. Yeah, I think of, you know, St. Paul says, always be prepared to give a reason for your hope. And our hope comes in our confidence in the Lord that, you know, he promised us that if you follow me, you know, you'll be with me for eternity. And so no matter how bad things get around us, no matter, you know, what we're seeing on the news and, you know, whatever gets us, can get us down, you know, my hope is that we're in a worldwide pandemic and, you know, it can seem hopeless, but our hope is not in anything in this world. Our hope is in Jesus, who promises eternal life. And that's that confidence. Another piece of confidence as a disciple and then as an apostle, one who shares, one who is sent, I believe that every person was made by God and for God. And so I have this confidence that I know what the answer is to every human ill. It's Jesus. And, you know, when somebody's struggling with something, I know that Jesus can heal them, forgive them, can help them through this difficult time, and because he's done it for me. And Susan, I think that's what she was referring to. She's experienced his mercy and his love, and then once you experience it, you've got to share it because you want other people to experience what you've experienced.
Yeah. Susan, God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Good to have you with us today. Let's stay in Southern California, Los Angeles. Sister Elizabeth, welcome to the program today.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a great topic. You know, I had to call in. you know, like Susan said, he takes us from our sinfulness. And I had been away from the church for many years, and I came back. And it was the priest at my parish. And one of the priests you do have on your show, Chuck, Father Edward Broom. So I'm from his parish.
Oh, okay.
He was one of the priests that really helped me so much, and his other brother priests. And they had something that I wanted. You know, I had no knowledge of religious sisters. I didn't go to Catholic school, but it was my priests at the parish. And so they helped me to realize that Jesus Christ was not just a story in a book, that he was real and that he loved me and that my sins were not greater than his love and mercy. So once I made that connection, once I found out that reality, you know, the more you know Jesus, the more you love him. And the more you know and love him, the more you want others to know and love him. And he just took me from there. And when I realized he wanted me to give my life to him completely, wow. Once you experience that, there's no turning back. He's everything. And I remember, this is funny before I go, I knew that Jesus took my heart when I would listen to like secular love songs back in the, you know, I've been in the convent 20 years. So I would think of Jesus. He's real. And it was his humanity. Once I realized his divinity and humanity, and when people say, oh, I'm so sorry you'll never get married or have children, I have never felt lacking as a spouse or as a mother. But this is my vocation as a religious sister. So I just wanted to share that.
Beautiful, sister. And can you share, like, how did you know, it's beautiful to talk about Father Edward and, like, they had something that I wanted. How did you know that you had a call to religious life? Can you share that briefly? Because that's an important piece. We all have different calls, you know, to marriage, single life, uh-huh. priesthood, religious life.
I did think that I was going to be married and have children. I had a boyfriend even before coming back to the church. So I had that. I entered at 32 years old. So I entered older. So all I can say is that marriage is so beautiful. It's a sacrament in the church. But I knew that there was something inside me that said, but I feel that God was calling me to give more than just to my husband and my children. Hmm. It wasn't good. I mean, of course. I mean, it's something that I desired before I found my call. But once I realized that I was leaving something so beautiful and so good, that opportunity to marry and have a family for something better. But God was giving me that choice, and Jesus is such a gentleman. He doesn't force us. We're all created. Before we were even in our mother's wombs, we were created for a specific vocation, how God wanted us to live. But he doesn't force it on us. Isn't that beautiful?
It is.
Love is free, and he lets us make that choice. And so he gave me the option, and I know he would love me either way, whether I said, no, I want to get married. I know he's not going to change his love for any of us, no matter what. But what I knew that I wanted to give him everything that I could. And the best way you can give the greatest glory to God and have the possible joy in your life is through finding that vocation, whatever it is. Not to be afraid, not that you might feel fear, but trust me, I promise anyone out there who's struggling with their vocation, if it's your vocation, whatever that is you're discerning, you're going to be so happy.
Yeah, I can relate so well. I was 30 when I went to seminary, you know, had a girlfriend before. And can so relate to what you're saying. And, you know, I think I could have been happily married, but what I felt was, like, I didn't feel like God was calling me to love you know, one person particularly, like when people are feeling that call to marriage, that's what they sense is like, this is the person God's calling me to love. And I felt like I was called to love, you know, this broad group of people with his love. And I think it's what you're saying is that, we can hear the joy in your heart. I thought being a priest would be like a sterile, loveless life. And it's been just the opposite. When we find that call, whatever it is, and marriage, as you say, is a beautiful call. Whatever that call is, you know, God's going to give us the grace to live that out in joy. And, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah. Yeah, Sister Elizabeth, thanks for joining us on the program today. You mentioned Father Ed Broom. He, by the way, will be the spiritual director next Monday on The Inner Life. And thanks also, Sister, for your kind email the other day. I really do appreciate that a lot. Father Burke Masters is our spiritual director, talking today about discipleship and being a disciple. What's your experience of being a disciple? When did you hear the call to say yes to the Lord and follow him? Toll-free phone number 888-914-9149 if you'd like to join us on The Inner Life. Stay with us. We'll get to some more phone calls when we come back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Part of the program, you can listen to this show and any of your favorites on the Relevant Radio app or online at relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on the program, talking about discipleship today. Father Burke Masters is our spiritual director. Father Burke, a priest in the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, Secretary for Christian Formation, and Director of the Office of Adult Formation, Temporary Administrator of Notre Dame Catholic Church, that in Clarendon Hills, Illinois. And again, I'm just going to mention Father Burke's vocation story. This is such a great story. Wish we had more time to talk about that. We do not today. It's called The Baseball Priest, and it's available on a CD from Lighthouse Media. If you're looking for something to listen to, check that out. It's a great, great story. Father Burke, I just need to take a moment here. This is my last week on Relevant Radio, retiring. And Father Douglas McKay, he told me a couple of weeks ago, he says, you're not retiring, Chuck, you're rewiring. So we'll see what the Holy Spirit has in mind. But I just wanted to take a moment here and say thanks to you for being part of the program really from the beginning. Your insights, your stories, just such a big, big part of Relevant Radio. And I know you're a busy priest there in the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. So thank you for all you've done for Relevant Radio, The Inner Life, the church. And I just wanted to publicly say thank you for being a priest and for helping us out the way you do here on The Inner Life.
Oh, thank you, Chuck. I've always enjoyed my time with you on the air here. And on behalf of all the people listening, I want to thank you for the work and ministry you've done as I think it was Susan that said earlier, or maybe Ann, we're going to miss you. And so God's blessings to you in retirement. And, just many blessings. Maybe we'll catch each other at a Cubs-Cardinals game here this summer.
I'd love to do that. We'll stay in touch and see if we can make that work. And Father Burke, as we talk about discipleship, I want to get to some more phone calls again. I guess, do we, as lay Catholics, do we need to take discipleship and being a disciple more seriously? And then I wonder if we're serious about being serious about it, can we just begin by looking at our parish and find maybe programs or find some way within the parish to be that disciple God's calling us to be?
Yeah, I believe, and I think you hear it in the callers, the joy that you're hearing in them, it's the most important thing that we can do. And I think it's a great time during Lent to think about, okay, where am I spending my time? And if I'm not investing time in my relationship with the Lord and becoming the best disciple I can be, then how can I rearrange that? We started something here in the Diocese of Joliet, and it's actually virtual, so we've got people from all over the country participating, from California to Florida and everywhere in between, something that we're calling Be Formed, where we believe that relationships are the key to discipleship. You know, Jesus invested in 1, 3, and 12. You know, John was his faithful companion. Peter, James, and John were his intimate three, and then he had the 12 disciples, apostles. And so we have small groups that, within the small group, you have an accountability partner where each day you're checking in with each other, encouraging each other to grow in certain areas that you've shared with the other person. Like, I really want to work on my praying Lectio Divina and the examine prayer, let's say. And so you check in with your accountability partner. Each week we meet as a small group to encourage each other, build relationships. And then once a month, we do some teaching around this area of discipleship. And I believe that kind of dynamic of daily, weekly, monthly, and being really intentional about spending our time in relationships and in divine intimacy, growing in our relationship with the Lord, that's what leads to disciples' hearts catching on fire. So people want to learn more about it. It's on the Diocese of Joliet Adult Formation page called Be Formed. So we're hoping that it continues to grow and expand maybe to other dioceses.
Yeah, and if it's virtual, we obviously all have an opportunity to take part in that. So that's terrific. Diocese of Joliet.
We're probably going to do. Yeah, I was just going to say we're probably going to do not just during Lent, but do different 90-day segments throughout the year, so people can, you know, join in and be a part of it.
Yeah. Father Burke Masters, our spiritual director, talking about discipleship. Let's head back to the phones. And Fred, listening in Cedar Park, Texas, in the Diocese of Austin. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to the program today.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me. Mine is a,
hi, Fred.
A pretty quick... Hi. Mine's a pretty quick and little funny story. 30 years ago, when I was living in Boca Raton, Florida, I would go to Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church. Decided to go to confession, and I confessed my sins to the Father, and he absolved me of my sins, as they always do, and he gave me my penance. And my penance at the time was as blunt as the following. We have an opening in our religious education program for a fifth grade catechist. You are to go to the RE director, here's her number, and sign up for it. And so that was my penance, and that was 30 years ago in 1992 or 3, and I have been a catechist ever since. And then I expanded from there into the RCIA program, not just the kids. And then from there, Knights of Columbus, and with a couple of brother knights, Frank Triola and Brian Mendonca, we visit the prisoners every other Sunday at the Travis County Jail. Of course, COVID has stopped that, but it just goes from there. And I believe that these activities, that this learning has also been beneficial in many other aspects of my life and my career.
Yeah, wow.
And that's just what I wanted to share.
Thanks, Fred. I've never given that penance before. Maybe I'll have to think about that. That's a great story of how we got in there. Yeah.
Well, you know, and we say yes, and then there's another invitation, and we say yes again. And it's not like, I know for me, you just kind of keep saying yes. It's just part of what we do, and it's so rewarding. It's so enriching, isn't it?
It's amazing. Like I say, I think we've heard in the callers, including Fred, just a joy. And when we're doing the Lord's work here on earth and spending time with him, there's nothing better. And, you know, our culture and world may be getting more secular, but I think it's a wake-up call for all of us to say, okay, what is important? You know, the things of this earth are going to pass away, but what's going to last is our relationship with the Lord and our relationships with others. And where am I investing my time? And where do I find my hope and my joy?
Yeah. Fred, thanks for the call. Great story. We appreciate you joining us on the program. And so, Father Burke, not a lot of time left, but in the time we have left for our listeners today, is there a first best step that someone can take to be the disciple, that to say yes, to really follow where the Lord may be leading? And I just wonder, we're in Lent, and I wonder if this can kind of become a Lenten opportunity for us.
Yes, I would say, you know, the three key components, I think, of a disciple are prayer, scripture, and the sacraments. And so, you know, if you could take the first step into one of those, I remember reading the Gospel of Matthew as a 14-year-old freshman in high school, and that was, it really opened my heart to Jesus, you know, and then I started to go to Mass. You know, I wasn't Catholic, and, you know, that really struck me. And then when I went to my first confession later on, wow, you know, so those sacraments are encounters with the Lord. And once we encounter Jesus as a living person, one of our callers mentioned that, Anne or Susan, that sense of, you know, Jesus is alive, or maybe it was Sister, he wants a relationship with us. And so it's not, if we're going through our faith like checking boxes and saying boom, 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 and our heart hasn't been engaged where we fall in love with the Lord, then it's just a kind of the externals. But once our heart is engaged and we've fallen in love, then, you know, we just want to spend all our time with him, getting to know him and sharing him with others. So I would recommend one of those three things: getting started, getting into the scriptures, personal prayer time, and Mass and confession.
And one more point, Father Burke, if you would. I love how you talk about the saints being our posse.
Yes, and that came from Jeff Cavins. He says we should all have our posse ready where we, you know, and the saints, they say, choose us. We don't choose them. So think about the saints that, you know, that keep coming to mind. They might, you know, people might give you a book, or they kind of show up in something that you're reading. This posse, if you will, they're your guides. They're interceding for you. And they're, so for me, I think about my favorite saint, I think, of all time is St. John Paul II, somebody who I saw, you know, living here on this earth, and I wanted what he had. I wanted that joy that he had. St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, Thérèse of Lisieux, just the loving, you know, doing small things with great love. And St. Francis of Assisi, they're common saints in the sense that a lot of people go to them, but I find inspiration that here they're human beings just like me and you, but yet they said yes to the Lord, and the Lord did amazing things through their simple yes, their surrender.
And Father Burke, in 30 seconds, 21st century chaotic, COVID, everything that's going on in our world, I can make the point, I'm sure you can too, we need disciples and saints maybe more than ever.
They say that whenever there's persecution, whenever there are difficult times in the world, the greatest saints arise. And even though I think our church may be a little bit smaller, based on different circumstances in the world, I think they're getting stronger. I think we're going to see an explosion in the near future in the church in a great positive way.
Father Burke Masters, our spiritual director on The Inner Life today. Time to wrap things up. And Father Burke, as you know, we like to close with a final blessing for all of our listeners.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to send your blessing upon each person listening and their families. Keep them safe and inspire in them to be your faithful disciples, to say yes and to surrender to you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Burke Masters, a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today. Stay tuned. We're celebrating Mass from the Cathedral of St. Paul here in about 60 seconds. Don't forget, 12:30 Central, The Faith Explained with Cale Clark. We are back tomorrow, and we hope to see you then. Make it a great day.